Welcome to George Massey's show. We're a day late. Every day this week we've been a day late, but we're going to discuss the MILF Manor episode as well as Love in Paradise 90 Fiancé. So we're going to jump into that. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Tuesday. I don't know why I can't figure out the date. It's Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Tuesday. We're going to wait for Cara, or I'm sorry, Dee Dee to arrive before we get started. Hi, the Diva speaks. Where you at, Dee Dee? Hope everybody's having a good day. It's been like a really bad storm today and yesterday here, so I hope your weather is better than mine. Apparently up north it's not. It's like better weather, I've heard, but I don't know. Hey, Dee Dee's here. Hopefully everybody joins in. We're a day late, so I know this is not our typical day for the live, but it's fine because we'll record the live and everybody can rewatch. Hey, how
Hi.
are you? How are you?
I'm doing good, trying to stay dry. We are having some crazy weather today.
We had that too. We had a lot of storms today, and it was rough. But it hadn't rained here. It rained yesterday and today, but it hadn't rained before that for like a month. So, you
It's been
know, it's probably
raining
fine.
every day here for the past week.
Oh no. We haven't had that much rain. I mean, in the summertime, it rains like every single day. But it's not summer yet, so I don't know why we're getting like our summer drenchings every day. It's kind of annoying because I don't like to get drenched when I go out. But hopefully, we hear from Cara soon. I know she's been really busy this past week or two. So first things first, we want her back. So as soon as we can get Cara back on, that would be great. But I want to talk about this MILF Manor episode that aired on Sunday. So we were briefly discussing what we thought the secret was. You remember Jamie had a secret.
Yes.
I thought that she was probably interested in women, but I was wrong. So her secret has come out and she decided to tell, I believe, Christina. Bonjour, bonjour, geek in the kitchen. She decided to tell Christina her secret, and she said, this is in confidence. I feel like I could trust you. And in less than an hour, I would say a good 25 minutes, she went and she told the other women. So I don't know. This kind of made me get back to like, why do women betray each other so easily? Like, why is it that women don't look out for each other the way men do? Like, I don't know. Like, I felt like it probably was necessary for her to mention that because it is a dating show. But I don't know. I just felt like it was so easy for the women to turn on each other. And I don't know. Like, why is it that women are so fast to backstab each other and to turn each other like on each other like that? What is it about the camaraderie of women and the competitive nature of women that they can always turn against each other rather than work together?
In this situation, she didn't turn against her, George. I mean, she had every right to let the other ladies know. The woman is in a relationship. She is on a singles women's show trying to find love, per se, a partner. And here she is. Why did she even go? So I'm on the other girl's side with that, because how you gonna do that? And then you're playing with these guys' feelings like that. How are you gonna do that? What if
I
they fall in
mean,
love with her? And then she's like, oh yeah, well, by the way, yeah, I'm in a relationship.
I don't
Would you want
disagree with
somebody
you,
to do
Miss.
that to you, George?
No,
Or would you want
I
somebody
mean,
to be honest and be like, hey, she's got a girl, a boyfriend?
misrepresenting yourself is wrong. I agree, but I don't know. I just felt like it was so easy for the women to turn on her and like confront her. I don't know. I just felt like I wish that women didn't want to see the demise of other women so bad. Because, Kelly took the reins and she said, oh, well, I'm going to be the one, to handle this situation. And she went and confronted her. And do you feel like Kelly was a little nasty about it? Right? I feel
Yes,
like she was kind of
Kelly
rude.
shouldn't even been in the situation to begin with. I mean, why did they bring Kelly back?
Well, that was my question too, because remember we thought that Barbie might leave because they showed on one of the previews that she was packing. She was leaving, but she actually only
Just
moved
left
room.
her room.
Yeah, Yeah, she only moved rooms. So I'm not 100% sure why they brought Kelly back. Now, Kelly was the most popular MILF on season one. She was the one in that when they were in Mexico, she told all the people speaking Spanish to stop speaking Spanish because she couldn't understand them. You know, she was really offensive, right? She was like, yeah, y'all are so rude speaking Spanish. And they're like, we're in Mexico. Oh, ma'am, you should also be speaking Spanish. Like, this is literally where our language originated. How dare you? Like, she definitely brought a lot of drama. So Joey's not there. Joey was her son from season one, but we also saw that Jacob is having second thoughts and doubts about being there, and he might leave. And I think that would perfectly open up the opportunity for Kelly's son, Joey, to come back too. Right, remember he was the youngest one last season.
Maybe. Yeah, Joey was the favorite one for everybody last season. Everybody yeah. wanted to be with Joey. He and it's like youngest. On this season too, the Joey again, everybody wants to be with the Joey.
And I kinda wanna see the battle of the Joeys, right? Because if Kelly's son Joey comes back and then we have this season's Joey and they're both the youngest, they'll both be the youngest boys yes. on the show. So I feel like that'll really bring out the cat fights. You know, like the fights between the women. And I think that, I hate to say it, but one of the dads said it. He was like, you know, you find the woman with the most drama and you kind of, you fall in love with her. And it's fun. It's fun when the drama is happening around you, but not necessarily to you. You know, like whenever I'm somewhere and some people are fighting, I always make sure I stand and watch for a minute. You know, it's fun. It's fun to watch people go at it because I'm not a part of it. I'm not going to be the one who has to sleep on the couch that night. That's their issue. You know, like they're fighting. So I just want to kind of grab a little video of it on my phone and just watch these people duke it out. You know, I get that. But for me, I'm not the type that's going to go find the woman with the most drama and date her. I don't need that. That's too close to me. Too close to home for me. I don't want to bring the drama home with me. I want to leave the drama out wherever I am. You know, that's too much for me.
Well, you know how we like it. We like the drama as long as the drama has nothing to do with us.
Right. The drama is everything that I'm looking for as long as I can leave it where it is. It doesn't come home. It's not knocking at my front door, right? That's what I want. Like, as long as the drama does not knock at my front door and confront me specifically, I'm good. I would love to see people fighting. You know, I don't condone fighting, but I watch it. Like, you know, like, it is what it is. If it happened, I can't do anything to stop it. I will watch it. You know, it is what it is. But Kelly and Barbie, they're going to be the two powerful MILFs in the house, right? Because all the boys loved Kelly before Barbie before Kelly arrived. And then when Barbie arrived, all the guys were like, oh, she's the hottest. You know, when Kelly got there, she's the hottest.
All right.
How do you feel like this is going to go?
All right, George. Here's my conspiracy, okay? All right. I was pretty much all right on this conspiracy last week about the other lady coming. Either she was her girlfriend or she was someone from last season. And yeah. She was someone from last season. I know Barbie is popular and then Kelly is, well, she's going to be popular too. We already know what kind of conniving woman Kelly is.
Yeah.
So Barbie is right up there with her. So I think that Kelly and Barbie, I think they're going to pretty much forget that other women are there and they're going to be in competition with each other and they're going to be sharing slobber, if you know what I mean.
Well, they kind of already were. Did you see?
Well, what's his name? Was it Jacob, right?
Yeah.
Jacob
and his dad were talking we're talking with Kelly and Barbie came and laid one on him. She gave him a kiss and Kelly's like, I can do that too. You're not the only woman that can be aggressive. You know, like I can do that too. So they were already literally fighting over Jacob before anybody even knew what was going on. So I just feel like it's gonna make the competition a step up, yeah. You know, because remember Kelly, nobody really liked her outside of the guys. The women didn't want to be around her because Kelly is very, very competitive. She would go after guys that...
Kelly's going to be keep going after the ones that Barbie likes and Barbie's going to be going after one that Kelly likes. But at the end of the day, as of right now, I think Kelly's going to win the fight.
I mean, Yeah, I think Barbie is not as confident and aggressive as Kelly. Like we saw that with Barbie. She gets a little offended when she thinks somebody isn't okay with her or okay with her past, or she's a really sensitive person. And I think Kelly, she's more, I see that, I want that, I'm gonna get that, get out of my way. She's more aggressive with what she wants. And I think that Barbie is she's too sensitive. I think she's gonna take things more seriously or more personally. And on a dating show, you don't take it personally. Like it's kind of how Barbie started that crap with Crystal when she walked up and was like, or when Crystal was like, oh, she's off limits. Like this is off limits, and you're being territorial. With women, I think women, they don't do well with territorial women. Women like to have what they want to have, and I think that Barbie and Crystal, like you, or Barbie and Kelly against each other, Kelly is going to win every single time. Kelly is just more aggressive. Barbie is not really from the streets, right? Like Barbie's not from the streets. She's not willing to throw down. And I feel like Kelly will come after you. She will have you kicked out of the house. Like Kelly has no issue coming for you, because she even told Jamie, she was like, you need to pack your shit and go. Like, you need to leave. You're in a relationship. You have no business being here with all these single women who are actually looking for love, which total
It's
BS. Nobody
true.
in here.
It's true. She's on the show for, I mean, she's, what is that word they used? What was that word they used, George? I forgot English.
What? Oh,
That,
cloud. You mean cloud?
they're on there for under false pretenses.
Oh
Something like
yeah.
that. All
Oh, yeah. I mean,
right, yeah,
if
my
she knew
English
he was
went
in.
away. Y'all know I be having problems talking English sometimes.
Well, English is your second language. It's a little harder for you. You basically spoke Spanish your whole life, and then you moved to America and you had to start speaking English. So I totally understand that. That's not hard to understand. You literally, every conversation you ever had growing up was in Spanish, so I get it. But yeah, I think that coming on a dating show and representing yourself as single, and this isn't the first, second, or third time this has happened. Like, if y'all have watched other dating shows in the past, we have found several people who will go on the show who are not just dating someone, might even be engaged, and they're just on the show to further their career, further their following on Instagram or TikTok, or just there for the money. On some of these dating shows, you get a lump sum of money. So a lot of times they'll go and they'll be in a relationship, but that doesn't, they're not actually looking for love. They're looking for money and notoriety, and they do that. I don't know necessarily if that was what Jamie was trying to do, but towards the end of the episode when she went and she snatched Joey's dad away from, I think his name is Anthony, away from Kelly. And I was like, well, if you're already in a relationship, you're literally stopping Kelly from getting to know this person for your own personal, selfishness, because you're in a relationship. And she never made it seem like the relationship she was in was one she was willing to throw away to be with anyone on the show. She never said that.
But she said that when she applied to be on the show, she wasn't in a relationship. But when she got accepted on the show, she was already in the relationship, so she just went ahead and went. But she's there under false pretenses, so the women have every right to vote her out because how are you going to play with how are you going to play with somebody's feelings like that? Why would you
Yeah,
do that?
I think it's unfair, and I think that she should have disclosed it. Obviously, after you get casted for a show, it's not an easy process. She probably felt like, I made it this far. What if I disclose it and then next month me and this guy stop talking and then now I'm off the show too? I get where it ended up, but to show up there as a single person, supposedly, and be dating on a dating show, it says a lot about your character. Right? There's honest and decent people in the world, and then there's people who will do whatever they have to do to get ahead. And it is what it is. She did what she did. She lied, and she got herself a spot on a show that she didn't qualify for. It's basically like if you applied for a job and they said you needed a law degree or a medical degree and you don't have one and you just say you have it and then you get the job, you're not qualified. She's not qualified to be on this show, because she should be single. And even though nobody from these shows literally gets married and has kids and stays together, it's still part of the qualifications that you're not actually in a relationship with somebody outside the show before you get there. That's just part of the deal. And unfortunately, a lot of times in these reality shows, people look at it as, oh, this is a big show. This is going to help my career. This will get me a 10 grand in the bank just for showing up. I get a free vacation. They don't look at it as a dating show because, you know, nobody on The Bachelor is going to get married and stay together. You know, nobody's going to do that. But we still need to protect the integrity of what we're watching. We don't want to just watch a bunch of already in relationship people pretend to be in relationships with other people. We don't want to watch it. Like, it's already, it's blurring the line of the truth on reality TV. Anyway, we don't want to make it any worse.
Exactly.
So let's talk sexual yoga, because I wasn't big on that. I've never done yoga in my life, but I do know that there's goat yoga. I think I've watched that on reality TV. There's like, I guess sexual yoga, I know that now. And then there's just regular yoga where you go to the gym. I've seen people doing that at the gym.
Never done yoga either, so.
Yeah, I've never done it. I heard that it's very good for your soul, your inner peace, mental health. I have heard good things about yoga, but doing yoga with your dad. So Joey and Anthony had to go and do yoga, sexual yoga with Kelly, which was very distracting. You know, it's very distracting to have. I felt like the first episode was worse enough. You know, it was therapy warranted enough, you know, doing the striptease with their dad. But now it's getting worse, because it felt like when Joey got back to the house, he was so traumatized. Like, he looked like he had been through a very traumatic situation. Like, he just looked scared. Like, you know, when somebody was kidnapped and then they find the person and then they bring them to the police station and they're just like sitting there holding a teddy bear shaking. I felt like that's how Joey was acting. Like, he was really trying to process what just happened. And, you know, this show, I get that they want to get weird. I know that they want to make people feel uncomfortable. They need to pay for the therapy they're going to need after this, right? Like, I feel like it's necessary that the trauma you're causing these people, you're going to look out for them afterwards so they're not, like, in a crazy house for the rest of their life. Because this is a lot. You know, like, this is a lot. Can you imagine? I mean, doing yoga with a bunch of strangers would be trying for me. You know, like, because, you know, some people say in yoga, people pass gas, you know, and there's these weird positions. And, you know, I don't want to be in that type of situation. So to do that with your father or your mother, brother, sister, cousin, whatever, that's a lot for me. It's very cringy. It's very trying. And it's not something that you're going to want to relive, you know. And even Joey, he was like, I'm just going to go to my room and cry on my pillow for a while, because these are memories I can't erase from my mind now. It happened.
Well, I mean, just think, George, if you were to go on a dating site like that with your son, and y'all go out with the same woman.
No. I don't even want to make it look like I'm like on a high horse or anything, because I'm not. I'm not perfect, but like, no. No, that is, I mean,
it's the same thing. Or like, if I were to go on a dating site with my daughter with a man, or like, you know what I'm saying? No, that's just gross. I mean, like, no.
it crosses a line that we didn't even know existed, right? Like, we didn't even know it existed, because we don't typically do that. Like, I guess Sean and his dad said in one of the confessionals that they have been each other's wingman together. See, that's not something that I saw as normal either. Like, a father and son go to the bar and help each other pick up women. That was kind of weird for me too. I was like, well, that's a close relationship, you know. Like, I don't want to judge people. Like, maybe I that's a relationship that I could have had, you know. I don't judge people's relationship, but I do know that there are women who talk to their moms or daughters who talk to their moms about their sex lives. I've heard it a lot, you know. But I think women are capable of establishing closer relationships and more personal bonds than men are. Men just don't know how to share. And I think women have a deeper emotional connection, especially with their children. So I think that's a little more normal. Like, I've heard people say all the time, they're like, oh, my mom knows everything. Like, the woman's like, I tell my mom about the men, things that I do. And I'm like, doesn't that make it weird? And they're like, well, no, we're just close. Like, I can't imagine ever doing anything.
Me and my daughter, we're like best friends. Like, we tell each other everything. Like, all the way down to probably how many times we go to the bathroom a day. Like, I mean, that's just how we are.
And it's not awkward for you at all. So, like, if she's dating someone and they're having an issue, intimate issue, would she talk to you about it?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it weird? Okay, so say you and your daughter.
Mom, but I'm her best friend when I need to be her best friend too. I mean, I'd rather her come to me, you know.
That's true. Because
her,
you know,
advice she needs instead of going to someone who's not. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like with your son. I mean, one day he may need some advice. He needs to go to you instead of a total stranger to get advice.
Horrifying thought. Horrifying, just horrifying.
It's an amazing amazing feeling to have my daughter not only as a daughter but as my best friend.
I mean, I understand. I think when your children are children, they're children. But then when they're adults, your relationship shifts from being the parent to being a friend and a parent. You know, because children don't need friends; they have enough friends. They need a parent to raise them right. And make sure that they do the right thing. But once they become an adult, you are able to open that relationship up to being a friend, you know, being on a friend level. And I think that a lot of times women are better at doing that and making it happen. Men are just awkward. Men just don't know how to build strong bonds, you know, like women are able to say, oh yeah, that's my daughter, but you know, she's 25 years old now. So now we're going out and we're doing things that friends would do. You know, men, I don't think really understand how to navigate strong bonds and relationships the way women do. Women just are more in touch with being mature and emotionally mature. And men are always embarrassed. You know, watching MILF Manor has shown me how embarrassed men are. Like watching the dads and the sons, just the look of embarrassment on everybody's face. Like men are just more embarrassed than anything. They're not open to the situation. They're freaked out. They're bothered and embarrassed. And I think if it was a reverse where there were mothers and daughters, the mothers and daughters would be less embarrassed and more excited, you know, because they would be able to share this experience with their mom. And I think that, you know, that's why we got shows like Smothered first. You know, we got the close mother and daughter shows before we got the
son shows. We're not that close now. We ain't that close.
You don't share your bath water, right?
No.
You're not sharing any bath.
No, okay, don't share. Share men, and we don't share back the water. We don't do none of that gross stuff.
Sharing men, that would be a whole different type of show, right? That would be a whole different type of show. And I don't even know where we would start with that. That would just be a lot for me. But it's crazy because this stuff happens. We've watched these shows and it happens. Okay, we're going to jump over and we're going to talk about, we talked about MILF Manor. We're going to talk about Love in Paradise. Hey, Kelly, I'm close with my mother. We talk about everything. See, okay, Kelly, I'm really close with my mom. I was a mama's boy growing up. I'm going to tell y'all something really embarrassing. Don't screen record this. When I was younger, I had my own room, but I liked to sleep in my mom's room with her until I was like 12. Don't judge me. But I was like a humongous mama's boy. Like I was attached at the hip. So, but as an adult, like, it's really hard for me to talk to my mom about everything. Like, we can talk about finances, work stuff, friendships. But, like, when it comes to, like, intimate stuff, it's just really hard. But, again, I'm a guy, and men have a really hard time sharing and opening up stuff, especially with my mom. But, like, my mom would totally listen, you know, but I don't want to do it. I feel like, and I also feel embarrassed. Is it normal that I feel embarrassed? Like, I feel like I shouldn't be doing things even though I'm an adult and it's okay. I still feel embarrassed that my mom would know that I'm doing those things. Isn't that weird?
Well, no, it's not weird. It's not.
I don't know.
I get it.
I'm grown, but like, I don't know. I don't want my mom to look at me differently. I know that makes no sense. I know she's not stupid. She knows that I'm an adult, you know, but I don't know. I feel really weird talking to my mom about stuff, but like my mom would totally listen. And also another small aspect to that is my mom is extremely religious. So like we'll be on the phone and I'll like slip up and curse and she'll be like, oh, you really shouldn't do that. You should ask for forgiveness. So like, I also feel a little judged like too. So if I do tell her some stuff, I feel like she might judge me a little bit because she's really, really religious. So everything that I do is normally a sin. So I'm a little nervous to like talk about stuff because I'm like, oh no, I don't want her to like go off on me and tell me I need to go to church like now. But, like, I don't want to tell her everything, you know? All right. So I want to talk about Luke's sunglasses business. Okay. So We were watching Love in Paradise, and Luke and Medellin, I just love her name. I'm just obsessed with the pronunciation. They're talking about the finances, and believe it or not, she has not run for the hills yet. You know, he has definitely told her that it's a serious situation and they don't have much money. But we learned last night, $20,000 worth of, what did he have? It was a 401k.
Yeah, 401k, yeah.
So he had $20,000. And 401ks, they, you can build them really quickly because if you have a good job, whatever you put in, your job will match. So, like, you could build a decent amount in your 401k in a small amount of time. So he takes his last $20,000, and he's been working on a sunglasses venture. And he purchases 300 pairs of sunglasses for $11,000. Now, I don't know where I want to start with this. Because I know when you start a business, you need to have a business plan. And the first thing that I was waiting for him to talk about was, well, what stores are interested, you know, in carrying your sunglasses, or how are you going to distribute these sunglasses? And it kind of seems like he doesn't have a plan. And I was all team Medellin. Gosh, I can't say it right now. Medellin. I was all team for her because she was like, you're going to make sure that we're both homeless. And I'm so freaking sick of you, because she was like, you make these decisions without me. And I do feel like business wise, he is like below. Beginner, like, he doesn't make good business decisions. And I'm not saying that his sunglasses aren't a good business decision, but okay, it's a very saturated market, right? Like, when it comes to sunglasses, if you wear Adidas, they have clothes, shoes, sunglasses. If you wear Nike, they have clothes, shoes, sunglasses. If you wear Michael Kors, they have clothes, shoes, sunglasses. If you wore Gucci, they have clothes. Everybody has ventured into this sunglasses realm. So entering a very saturated market with what he describes as a high-end product, you know, what is going to make your product better or more desirable than Tom Ford or Gucci or Louis or Adidas? Or, I mean, literally everybody who makes clothing or shoes has a sunglasses line. And it's like, it's going to be really difficult to make yours stand out when there's so much competition. And then to take his last $10,000 and sink it into this, because I was like, well, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to sell them door to door? Like, how are you going to distribute these glasses, and how are you going to get them in front of people that will appreciate it? Because I could go to TJ Maxx and I can get a pair of Coach sunglasses for $50. So, like, what's going to make me purchase your sunglasses over Coach, which has been around for longer than I've been alive? You know, like, what is your plan?
Okay, first of all, okay, this man claims that he was making how many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on this job? He claims that he was there for multiple years, and he only had $20,000 in his 401k.
Yeah, I'm gonna assume that this wasn't the first time he's cashed out his 401k. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay.
Because you can make,
all right, let's,
you can
let's
make
just
withdrawals.
Assume, let's just assume that he's taking money out. Mm-hmm. But if he's living this lavish life, this, you know, he's this supposedly pretty much a millionaire. He's living, I mean, he didn't even buy himself a house. He didn't buy himself a car. He didn't put no money towards anything. He's living in his mom's garage. He has no vehicle. He had the company vehicle he was driving was to be like early 2000s, maybe late
90s. Yeah, it was 90s. Like a Ford F-150, right? Like a Ford F-150.
Yeah. So that man is lying to that girl. I don't know where he's getting his money from, but
do you think that he never made as much money as he said he did, or do you think he?
I don't. Okay, you said you a businessman. You a businessman. You make all this money. You like dressing with like supposedly top of the line glasses, clothes, shoes, hats, whatever. But you did not buy yourself a place to live. Did not buy yourself a vehicle. You have $0.
That makes sense. The math ain't math. It's crazy that he was so successful because he was like, oh, I've been, this is one of the business I've been trying to get off the ground. And I was like, well, when you had all the money flowing, that's when you work on getting these businesses off the ground. Oh, I forgot to mention, he said that he spent $30,000 creating the prototype for the glasses. Now, we saw the glasses. There were some sunglasses that went on a little chain, and then they fold up. And I've seen these type of sunglasses before. You've seen the sunglasses that fold in half. Well, these fold like in three parts, and then they're like a little, they're like the little shape of the lens that you would wear around your neck. Not appealing to me. Just gonna be real. Not appealing to me. I do like the idea of folding sunglasses that go around your neck because sometimes I like to go out and do like roller coasters or something where you can't really put sunglasses in your pocket. They will crack or break in half. So the idea of it could be good for certain situations, but and he never said the price point either because I was going over that in my head too. So 300 pairs, $11,000. Like, what price point would he need to choose to make a profit? Because you don't want to start too high. You
know, I don't know.
Because you're not a known.
Because he said that if he could get all three of them sold, he would get his money back in a profit.
Well, right. So I'm thinking that these are like maybe $500 to $1,000 sunglasses, right? That was my first thought. Because I was like, it sounds like he's marketing them as high end, but they're not attached to any brand that anyone knows, which makes things so much harder because, you know, we're a brand-driven economy. You know, we have brand names on toilet paper. We have brand names on toothbrushes. Everything has a name attached to it. So when you want to enter the economy and enter the market as a name that no one is familiar with, it makes things so much more difficult for you because there's so many, you know, as a consumer, you're going to be drawn to something that's familiar to you, rather than something you've never heard of. You know, like when they first made Kias, I remember, I might be aging myself. I remember they had a buy one, get one free. I don't know how old I am, but you know, I don't want y'all to know how old I am, but back in when they first started making Kia cars, because I worked at a gas station and this lady who worked with me, she bought one. Because everybody was super skeptical. They're like, what are these? You know, we don't get new models and makes of cars very often. So she bought one and she told me that the deal was you buy one, you get a lease of another one for free, meaning you didn't have to pay a dime on the lease on the second car. And that was kind of how they introduced them into the market. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say that they probably lost money doing this, but obviously Kias have made a very big impact in the auto industry. Lots of people drive them. I see them all the time, but I'm pretty sure that they ate a lot of cost in the beginning, getting that name in front of you. He doesn't have any money to eat, you know, like he doesn't have any money to sink into promotion and getting the name out there. And I would think my first thing is I would have gotten one or two prototypes made, and then I would have went around to stores and spoke to buyers to see if I could get someone on board to carry them in a store. That would have been my first. Like, I wouldn't have made so many pairs without anywhere to distribute them, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know the right way
the ones
to run a
that he had on or the ones he was showing Madeline that he's going to be selling. I don't see no high end on them things. They look like Dollar General glasses.
Dee, did you notice that after he put them on and he showed her, he took them off and put on another pair of glasses?
Yes.
He did. Even wear his own prototype when they went to the coffee farm. That struck me as really weird because I was like, he put them on, he showed the chain, he showed them folded up, and then in the next scene, they were gone. He wasn't wearing them on around his neck anymore, and he was wearing a pair of gold glasses. And I was like, sir, you won't even wear your own glasses, and you want everybody to pay $500 to $1,000 for your glasses. You got to wear them too. At least Darcy and Stacy will put on that House of 11. And they will wear it. You know, like you got to make sure that you are showing people that you're committed because if you're not committed, why the hell should I be committed? Right?
Exactly.
Like that was really telling for me that he didn't even wear them through the scene. I was like, sir, this is free advertisement for your glasses. Keep the damn glasses on. Right? Like, why would you take them off? You want to sell them. Keep them on. You're on national TV. This will be streaming years and years after we're gone. Leave it on there. At least more people will know they exist.
He didn't even say the name of the his sunglasses. Like, yeah. The glasses that I have on, these are Michael Kors. They don't look like it, but they're Michael Kors. So if you're looking at sunglasses, someone wearing sunglasses, I mean, you can already tell what Ray-Bans look like. You can tell what, like, the name brand stuff is.
Yes.
So if you see a pair of sunglasses you've never seen before, but you don't know who they are, I mean, who's selling them, I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to have some kind of brand name. That's why I said, I think he got them jewels from freaking Dollar General or something.
It just, it was a lot.
And then, he won't even wear them.
Yeah, he wouldn't even wear them throughout the scene. After he showed her, because he asked, he's like, do you want yours? And she was like, no. She was, well, how do you feel about the fact that she felt like she should have been consulted about how he spent his 401k? It is his money because they're not married yet. So do you agree with her? Do you feel like it is something that they should have discussed? Or do you think that she's just all
of it's none of,
you think he's just
it's none of her business. It's none of her business. That's not her money.
She's more dedicated to knowing what he's doing with his money because she has interest in his money. Right? Like, I feel like that's more of what it is. She wants to make sure he doesn't spend it all because she won't have any left to spend. And I mean, she wasn't wrong in this situation. I think that if he would have ran this idea by another person, they would have told him not to do it. I would have told him not to do it. Don't buy 300 pairs. Get 5 made. And then go around and talk to buyers at different companies and see if they would carry them. That would be like my first step. Like, because if there, you can have a million pairs of glasses. If you have nowhere to sell them, no one's going to buy 500 pairs of sunglasses out of your trunk. You're not going to go door to door. Like, you have to have some way to market them in a way. Like, honestly, you wouldn't buy Michael Kors if you couldn't buy it in a store. You had to go to New York on one of the side streets in an alley and buy it from some random person. You would never buy it, right? Like, you need to know that your brand is accessible in a safe place.
Yep.
And you know that
exactly.
You know, the stores that are representing that brand are respectable stores. So you know you're buying a respectable brand. And I feel like he didn't do any of that. Oh, wait, Donna says, nope. I got a pair of sunglasses from Temu that say no for $2 and them are lit. See, somebody said on Twitter, they said that Temu has probably already copied his glasses and are selling them for 10 bucks. And I was like, that's probably so true because anything that you can make these days, Temu can copy and sell it for super cheap. So you got to be careful about what you show people on these sites or on these shows. Oh, so I want to talk about Adriano because a topic of spirituality and religion came up.
Wait a second. I got to fix my lighting. I don't know what is going on with my lighting, but I can't even see myself anymore. Do I look that bad?
See you. It's just a little dark.
Yeah. I don't know what. I think it is the bad weather around here. Wait a minute.
Oh, you probably lost the sunlight outside. Oh, yeah.
All right. Maybe that'll help.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
better. That's a lot better. Okay. It's really bright in this living room, so.
I want to talk about this religion and belief in God because Adriana was like, I don't believe in anything. Which is totally fine. I get that there are atheists. There are people who are only spiritual. You know, they don't go to church. Like, I personally don't go to church anymore after being raised in a cult. I don't feel safe in a church, but I definitely believe in God. But I wanted to talk about this situation. Is it possible for a person who doesn't believe in anything and a person who has a very strong relationship with religion and God, is it possible for them to coexist? Do you think that that's something that would work?
It's a possibility. I mean, they would have to find a happy medium, you know, and then, she don't need to let her faith go just to be with him. I mean, if you're a Christian and you get with a Catholic, you know, does that mean that he or she needs to become your religion or you need to become their religion for y'all to work? No. So, I mean, you just have to have a happy medium and you have to have respect for each other. Anything's possible.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it would be difficult because I know I don't want to, like, call out religious people, but a lot of times they like for you to conform to what they're doing. Like, for instance, we were watching Manuel and Ashley. Manuel really wanted her witchcraft to stay away, you know, from his family. He doesn't want to be a part of that. And I was raised in a cult, you know, like they weren't very open to anything other than what we believed. So it can be hard, because Alex brought up the fact that she wants her children to be raised in the church, and she wants them to have, you know, religion as a part of their upbringing. So I was thinking, well, how does that work? If somebody doesn't believe in that at all, you know, teaching your children things that you don't specifically believe, I think that's where things would get complicated. But I think that they're moving far ahead, because I don't see them actually getting that far in this relationship. Because Ashley's or Alex's cousin Tiffany came, and she's the one that kind of got into the religious conversation. And she also said that she doesn't think that people should be having threesomes, which I thought was a very judgmental statement, right? Like, she was like, I don't think you're supposed to do that. If you read the Bible, I don't think you're supposed to do that. And I was like, well, see, I don't like that. I don't like the judgmental part that comes with, you know, religion. I think that we should live and let people make their own decisions. And I think that at Alex's family being very religious, you know, equally amongst each other, I don't know how they would ever build a serious relationship, let alone a marriage, out of whatever they have going on. Because he just does, they don't, neither of them want the same thing. Adriana wants to move to Australia. She wants to stay in Italy. He wants to have regular threesomes. She doesn't want to have any threesomes. You know, and I think that the sex is kind of blinding for her, you know, because she's kind of looking past, and this is the same crap that happened with Ashley and Manuel. They look past all the red flags because they're enjoying themselves in the bedroom. They're enjoying the energy and the intimacy. And it's like, you can't just focus on one thing. You know, we're all adults. Everybody can consent and have a good time, but you can't turn a non-relationship situation into a relationship. Like, she's having fun with him. That's all that it's ever going to be. She's never going to be able to marry him. Clearly never have kids with him. You know, and who's to say that he even wants that? Because he kept saying, oh, I want two children. When are you going to have time to have kids when you're sleeping with random women all the time? You know, like, and what if one of the women in a threesome gets pregnant, but not the one you're with? Like, how does that work? Now, are you, like, sister wives? Like, are you just going to raise kids with different women? Like, there's so many questions I have with just how they're going to work.
Yeah, I mean, this relationship is, I don't know, is it really a relationship? Like, I mean, this man's so worried about having other women. He's on the wrong show. He needs to be on the show seeking sister wives or something. I mean, I don't know, but he ain't on the right show. And I don't even know what to say about them.
Tiffany said, her cousin Tiffany said, once a hoe, always a hoe. And she said that he's a hoe and, you know, he's never going to change. And I think you've said that too, right? You said that if somebody cheats on you and lies to you, they're always going to cheat on you and lie to you, right? Like, there's no...
Do it one time, they're going to do it again.
Because some people say, oh, yeah, when I was younger, you know, I did hoe activities. But then they're like, I'm older and I'm more mature. I don't do that anymore. You don't believe that. You feel like once you've done it and you've lived that life, it's always going to be a part of you. Like, you're always going to seek that type of stuff, which is fine. Because I don't judge
you. What's the word I'm looking for? That's like an adrenaline rush. It's like a drug. You get addicted to it. You know what I'm saying? Not only men, but women do the same thing. It's a adrenaline rush. They like how they feel doing all this, you know, behind their partner's back or whatever. That's how it is. I mean, whether it's a man or a woman, if they cheat on you one time, they're gonna cheat on you again. When they get caught, they'll probably calm down, but as soon as they get that little door open again or that one little opportunity, they're going to do it again.
Yeah, I think, right, the rush of getting away with it is what people, because you ever heard of people who make perfectly decent money, who live a decent life, and they'll go to the store and steal something because it's the rush of getting away with it? I've heard numerous stories like this, where they have a good job, they're living a good life, living a very respectable life, And then they get arrested for stealing something that they could have bought 20 times over, but it's that rush. And I think that's what you're, that's the same rush that we're talking about when it comes with cheating, knowing that you did it and got away with it and nobody knows what you're doing. I think that's what they crave, that addictive feeling of, I can live two different lives, or I can have this and this and nobody will ever figure it out. And I think that's where the trust and stuff, it gets blurred, because they don't necessarily want to cheat on people. They don't necessarily want to steal. It becomes an addiction. And when it becomes an addiction, you have no control over that. You do it. You can't stop yourself. And I think that's where it gets hard with these relationships, because he says he loves Alex. He says he wants to be with her. He says he wants to have two sons with her, but he's also addicted to having sex with multiple women at the same time. Is he going to ever be able to control that addiction? No. It's always going to be something that he wants, that even when she doesn't.
That adrenaline rush. Yeah. That's right, Ms. Donaldson. Like someone who watches porn all the time, but because the stuff that goes on in porn, the regular normal person isn't going to be able to turn you on if you're addicted to it.
Yeah. It's what we talked about this yesterday, unrealistic expectations. And I think a lot of women suffer from the issues caused from porn, because men have these unrealistic expectations of what women will do in the bedroom, which these women that in these movies, this is not a normal situation. And they had to start putting that at the beginning of porn videos, where it said that, you know, these are fictional situations, fictional scenarios, just so people stopped expecting women to do this stuff, right? Like, this is not real. You know, you don't order a pizza and then end up in bed with them. Like, this is a not a real situation. And I think, unfortunately, men are watching these scenarios. And then when they get in a relationship, they have a weird expectation that this is the way women behave in the bedroom. And it's not. No, this is the way that women in the adult industry behave on video to get you interested. There's a huge difference between an actual woman who goes to work every day and lives her life. She's not doing that weird stuff. You know, maybe, maybe not, but she's probably not. You know, and I think that's where we look. That's kind of what happened with Rob and Sophie. We were talking about this yesterday. He's got these unrealistic expectations, and now he's addicted to talking to every woman online or asking for pictures and asking for videos because he can't control it anymore. He really can't. Actually, Shabuti told me, he's a blogger in the 90 Day world. He said that he had a friend of his that DM'd Rob, this is alleged, guys, I can't prove it, but he said that she DM'd Rob this past weekend, actually, and asked if he wanted to hang out, and he said yeah. And this weekend, it's ironic, because this weekend, Rob was in LA with Sophie, and he said that the girl, you know, just to test him, she DM'd, and it's a very attractive girl, and I think that helps, you know. And what happened was, he said yes. He said, I would love to hang out. And then she didn't write him back. But I think that it's that addictive thing that we're talking about, where you always want to keep doing what that rush feeling gives you. So obviously he was trying to work on his relationship with Sophie, but he's not strong enough to turn down that temptation. And like you said, once they cheat on you, they're going to do it again. It's true. It's true. He swears up and down that he wouldn't do it. But literally just this past weekend, after all these years, all these times she's caught him cheating, all these issues, he's still doing the same thing. Still. Like, it's crazy.
Yep. That's why all right, so, when they get caught the first time, just deuces. See ya.
So Annie got enough points to get a kiss this week on Love in Paradise.
Gross.
So I want to talk about how awkward this was, right? So she apparently ate healthy and drank healthy, so she got 3 points. Her points added up to a kiss, and it was probably the most awkward situation I've ever experienced. Like, I felt so awkward. He was nervous. It almost seemed as though he has zero experience with kissing or anything, even
like a virgin.
Ironic, which is ironic, because I don't understand why he acts like a virgin when he's impregnated all these women. Like, what is that? But is there a disconnect between the impregnating women and having a relationship? Is that two different things? Like, because it doesn't translate to him having experience, because in my opinion, having like 80 kids makes you more experienced. But also, in my opinion, he seems like he has never had an actual relationship with a woman, which he's admitted outside of the insemination. There hasn't been a real relationship. But why does he act as though women are like a foreign land creature to him? Like, he's so awkward and strange.
I don't know. The man's strange anyway. That was like, I was like, what is he trying to do? Like, he's like, okay, I need to sit like this. Let me put my hand right here. Like, this is how it needs to be. Or no, wait a minute. This needs to... Has the man ever kissed a woman before? This right here is why me and Carr keep saying we have to see proof that this man has all these children, that he is like, all these women want to be with him. It's and after seeing today or last night when I watched it, no, there's no freaking way. So you mean you just go on there and do a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and you just magically get them pregnant the first time? You've never kissed, you've never touched a woman other than, you know what I'm saying? What do you do? Like,
I don't get it. Like, he has to have some game, right? Like, I don't, women are not, how do I put this in a clean way? Women are not creatures that can just be turned on just by looking, right? Like, women have to be in the mood, you know, in order for this to work. So how does the insemination work if he doesn't know what to do? He doesn't know how to make sure a woman is in the right state for it to happen. Like, it's so confusing.
And what's all these credits? Because these women in these other states, how does he know for a fact that they've been doing all this stuff that they're supposed to be doing?
I don't know. The point system, I guess, is only for relationships. The women that he inseminated.
He said he's never been in a relationship.
I don't know. I have no idea. And Annie had to work really hard to get him to put on pants, because apparently he was only wearing shorts. And he said that he only can wear extra small clothing because he needs to showcase his figure and curves and body and outline of his you-know-what. He said that that's very important, that he wants people to see that.
Yeah, so, he made it very clear that everything about him was small except for his penis.
That's weird to say, right? Like, that's a weird thing to say.
We didn't need to hear all that, okay? I'm just saying.
I think that his obsession with insemination is almost, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but it kind of seems like to me that, you know how we see it as a weird sexual thing? Like, in my opinion, he doesn't see it as a sexual thing, because he keeps explaining it to Annie as, oh, I'm helping them and they really needed this assistance and I'm doing it's almost like he's doing somebody a favor. Like, he's letting you borrow $50. Like, he doesn't look at it as the weird sexual fetish thing that we see it as. He almost sees it as something less strange. Which is really weird. Like, I feel like, in my opinion, Kyle is not all there. You know how you open a toolbox and there's all these different tools and screws and bolts? I feel like there's things missing from the toolbox, if you get what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like
Somebody's the wheels are turning, but nobody's driving.
Yes, I get that from him. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. I can't say anything that I can't explain or prove or diagnose. I can't diagnose anything. But I just feel like the way that he acts and speaks and talks about his hobby, because he doesn't understand why Annie would want him to stop randomly inseminating women for their relationship to work. And I'm like, you don't get why. Like, you get, like, having unprotected sex with people you don't know is a deal breaker for literally most women that I've ever met. No woman is gonna wanna be in a relationship with a man who literally has unprotected sex with strange people. You know, like, what are you, could be bringing something back home to her. Like, why would it shock you that she doesn't want you to continue doing that, you know?
I don't know. This man is very strange. I don't get it. And why in the world does she think he is interesting? Why in the world is she belittling herself to be with him? Like, That's disgusting.
I think she might be a little weird. Like, she's into some
she gotta
weird
be
stuff.
she gotta be in the slum. I don't know, but what she gotta be in the slum.
Some weird stuff. And I think that, I think we talked about this a little bit before. She might be one of those women who are into, you know how some women, like, they're like, oh, I like guys who like Star Wars or Star Trek or what do you call that? Like the geeky, nerdy type or awkward. Like, there's some women who only want to date like an accountant or someone who wears glasses or someone who's really smart. They don't necessarily have that F-boy swagger, you know, that most women are into. They're like the awkward type. And I think Annie is falling under that category, I think. And can you believe they had sex and they didn't wear protection and she thinks she might be pregnant? Like, can you believe this? Like, what is going through her mind? What is happening? Like, why would you have unprotected sex with a man who literally the trip that he took right before he came to see you, he went to impregnate some random woman? So first of all, the first thing you should have did was send him to a doctor to make sure he didn't bring anything back with him. That should have been the first thing you did. Second thing, you should have just ran, right? Like, just run. Like, can you imagine? And, you know, the rumors are that baby was born. That's rumors. You know, I've heard it through the streets that particular baby is here. It's in this world. So just to ruin that for everyone.
I don't even know what to think of. I mean, he is nasty. He is cringy. He makes my skin crawl. Like, I don't know. And then she's got to be weird. She's got the, like, low-key, I don't know. I don't know. That's just nasty.
She plays it off as a normal person. But, you know, some people are very good at that. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer was able to convince people he was normal before he mutilated them. Like, I feel like she plays it off well that she's not weird, but I think that she's totally just as weird as Kyle. Just, she plays it off well. She can blend in a little better than him. Like, Kyle couldn't blend in if his life depended on it. Everything that he does, he looks strange doing, right? Like, he can't blend in. He almost reminds me of if an alien from another planet was here and pretending to be a human. That's what Kyle reminds me of.
Yeah,
he just doesn't fit in.
The aliens on Men in Black, I mean, they just stood out. Yeah.
Yeah. He just stood out. Like, everywhere he goes, you're like, that's a strange person. What's up with that thing? Or that guy? Like, well, that's weird. Everything, like, no matter what he does, when he's walking, eating, everything is just off-putting and weird. So it's like, I don't know what Annie is seeing in him. And having a baby with him is crazy. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst that's happened, because apparently 80-something women have already done it, you know, and I'm not exactly sure why anybody is continuing the process. He said that his goal is to have 1,000 children. Did you see that when he was on Dr. Phil? He wants to have 1,000 children, which I was beginning to think isn't humanly possible, but I don't know anymore. Like, now that I'm watching these shows, I don't know what to believe anymore. It might be possible. If there's 1,000 women out there willing to go through with it, it might actually happen. You know, like, he's almost at 100. Like, and I guess Annie is adding to the list. You know, she...
That's disgusting.
Oh, so we saw Sean and Aaliyah on this episode, and it's become concrete and certain that Aaliyah is here to stay. And Sean was looking back at one of their, like, memory books, and there was pictures of Douglas in it, and Aaliyah has made it clear that she doesn't even really want those pictures there. Like, she doesn't want to be reminded of who she used to be, which, when people go through a transition, I do understand that, because you're being constantly reminded of who you were forced to be. Not who you are, but who you were forced to be. So she's ready to accept herself fully as Aaliyah. And I think that Sean is realizing that this is just not something that he can be on board with. Because it's almost like he woke up one day and he was in a new relationship with another person that he didn't actually want to be in a relationship with. I know that sounds bad, but Aaliyah is not the person that he would have seeked out to be in a relationship with. He seeked out Douglas, and he liked the characteristics of Douglas, and now Douglas has unfortunately been put to rest, And even the photos and memories that they built together, Aaliyah wants nothing to do with. And I think as time progresses, you know, as she changes the way she dresses and she's going to do her BBL, you know, I think that it's just going to be proven to be too much. You know, like he said, being with a woman is different from being with a man. You know, being with a woman, it takes longer for them to get dressed. They're more emotional. You know, they are more sensitive. They're more in touch with feelings. You have to be a little more understanding when you speak to them. You know, like when it comes to men are a little colder, a little less hooked on emotions. Like when you get into a fight with a woman, you don't just forget about the fight and the next time you see her, you're fine. You have to apologize. You know, women are not they're not the type where, oh, I'll forget about it. We're fine. No, you have to apologize. You have to take responsibility for what you did. I don't know if he's willing to switch genders in a relationship kind of without his decision being involved. Like, he didn't decide to switch the gender of the person he was dating. The person decided to switch the gender. And I think that as much as he wants to still be in love with Douglas, I don't think that Douglas is in existence for that relationship. And it's going to be a hard thing because, you know, at his age, he's 61 years old. He's invested a lot of time in this relationship. And unfortunately, he's going to end up single again.
Well, I mean, it's his own fault because you remember Douglas was fine being Douglas. And then when they went to a pride party, Sean convinced Douglas into putting on a wig and women's clothing.
Yeah.
He had to convince him to do it. He didn't even want to do it. So he talked him into doing it. And then that's when Aaliyah come out. So, I mean, he can't blame anybody but himself. He didn't want to be in a relationship with a woman, then, I mean, it's like he pretty much picked Douglas up and placed Douglas in Aaliyah's body, or Aaliyah into Douglas, however you want to say it. But, I mean, it's his own fault.
Yeah, he opened Pandora's box, and maybe he thought that this was just going to be like a fun hobby that Aaliyah would do, because, you know, there are people, I watch RuPaul's Drag Race, okay, like, there are people who live totally as men, you know, as they dress, but they do drag, they dress up as women, as a hobby, as for fun, as something that fulfills them, and maybe he thought that was the direction it was gonna go. Maybe he's like, oh, this will just be a different way for her to express herself. I don't think that he thought that it was going to unlock her true self. And I think that's what he did. He literally unlocked the door for her to be who she wanted to be. And it's interesting that they were in a relationship for so long and he wasn't aware that she wanted to be a woman that bad. Isn't that weird? Like, I feel like being in a relationship with someone, that should be something that you share with each other. You know, like,
well, I mean, I get it, because, like, say for instance, whether you're a man or a woman, transgender, gay, lesbian, whatever, if you are used to being in your circle, like your little small circle, used to acting and dressing, you know, talking a certain way, and you get in a relationship with someone and they bring out that inner person, it boosts your self-esteem. So you don't want to go back to that dull, boring person you used to be, because now you know your worth. You know how sexy you are. You start to love yourself. So I think that's what happened with Douglas, is Sean helped him bring out the inner person, which is Aaliyah, and he loves his body. She loves her body, I'm sorry. She loves the way she looks, you know, other than a couple of things. But her self-esteem is way up here now. She's not that quiet, innocent, you know, scared person that Sean said, you know, that he liked or he fell in love with.
Okay, this is going to come out bad, but I think Aaliyah will be happier with somebody younger and more vibrant. No offense, like, I'm not trying to be rude, but I feel like Sean is a more laid-back, quiet, easygoing. And I think Aaliyah's personality now is loud, vibrant, happy, dancing. I don't see them meshing well. And I think that she's going to be happier with somebody with a closer personality than hers. Obviously, this is a new personality for her. But I think that Sean is too And it has nothing to do with his age, by the way. He's just a very laid back, quiet, easygoing person. And I feel like he's probably the person that would love to have quiet nights at home. And I think Aaliyah's new personality, she's going to want to go out and dance and live her best life. And why shouldn't she? She's young. You know, like, this is the time where she's supposed to do that. And unfortunately, they get along well. They treated each other well, but their relationship, it's run its course. You know, she kind of changed who she was, and she kind of removed herself from the relationship. Not necessarily on purpose, but, you know, when she became a new person, a new personality, a new style, you know, I think that was the end of their relationship. And unfortunately, neither one of them know how to end it. Like, I think they both know it's probably over, but neither one of them know what to do. Like, I feel like they don't know what to do in this situation. Like, Sean clearly can see, you know, this isn't what I want for my future. And Aaliyah is telling him over and over, like, you need to understand this is me now. You know, whoever you thought you were with, they're gone. This is me now. I think that neither one of them know how to move forward without each other. And unfortunately, it's going to be hard, you know, because they did grow feelings for each other and everything. But people grow apart, you know, and people change.
All
and
the time.
Yeah, and they grow in different directions. And Aaliyah has just grown in a different direction. You know, I think if she would have stayed Douglas, they would have worked perfectly fine together. But she's no longer that person. She is a new person. And unfortunately, a new person, she's going to need a new man, right? Like, she's going to need a new man. She's going to need somebody. And I'm hoping somebody younger and that has a closer personality to her. Somebody, maybe somebody who also likes to dress up and do the things that she likes to do and dance and twerk. You know, like, the things that she loves to do. I want her to find that for herself, because it's nothing that Sean did wrong. It's just that she's gonna need somebody different, and unfortunately it's not Sean. And you know, and this happens all the time. We see divorces all the time. There, people don't have any reason why they divorce other than they grew apart. They don't hate each other, they aren't fighting, no one cheated on each other. They just literally grew in different directions, you know, and they get along fine. And I've heard people say all the time, they're like, after we got divorced, we became really good friends. You know, there's literally no hard feelings. It's just you grew in different directions.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
No,
very true.
Donna, you're right. I think that Sean is going to be paying for the BBL. And
oh, you know, yeah, definitely. Boob job, BBL. The what she'd want to do, like, flatten her stomach, or what do you call that thing?
Tuck it. Isn't it a tuck?
Tummy tuck. Yeah, that's what she's called.
Yeah, she's got to get that. Tummy tuck.
Oh, yeah, Sean's going to pay for all that.
Oh, yeah. Sean is going to be on the dime for that, because, and unfortunately, because neither one of them know how to end it, he's going to be there paying for that and taking care of that. And it's unfortunate, but I think that they do love each other. I think that their relationship was strong at one point. I just think that Sean is looking for a man and Aaliyah is a woman. And, you know, it's just, it's almost like a cut and dry thing. No hard feelings. No one cheated on each other. No one hates each other. No one's fighting. You know, they're not looking for the same thing.
Exactly.
All right, we're gonna wrap up. Again, this week we were without Kara, but don't think for a second that we're moving forward without Kara. She just had a lot going on. Kara will be back. We hope, hopefully sooner than later. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week on our normal days. Again, we took a day off for Mother's Day so everyone can enjoy their time with their mothers. You know, I'm a mama's boy. So we made sure everybody had that time. But we'll be back on Sunday for Happily Ever After. And then we'll be back Monday for MILF Manor and Love in Paradise. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to my co-host, Dee Dee. Make sure you're following Dee Dee on social media. I'm going to tag her in this video. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you can podcast, type in your George Massey, type in The George Massey Show. Everybody have a wonderful night. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you all really soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.